Have you ever looked at something, some object perhaps, and you look at it one way and you see it one way, and somebody else, maybe your spouse or a friend, sees something totally different in it? Like whenever I was a kid, and you may remember, or maybe you did this as a kid, when I was a kid in the summertime, I look up into the sky on a clear day and see the clouds. And my sister and I would look at these clouds and try to pick out what we thought we saw in them. And I would see one thing, and she would see something else. Maybe you've done that. And Kim and I have still done that, where she sees something in a cloud, and I see something totally different. And that's how it was on Palm Sunday morning. For Jesus had come into the city amidst a great jubilant throng of people praising, and the city was gone wild with excitement because it was Passover time. And people were already excited because Passover was drawing near, that special time of the year when they would gather together as a nation and they would remember their deliverance. They would remember how, through the shedding of the blood of the Passover lamb, God brought them deliverance out of Egypt, out of slavery, and the bondage of slavery that they had been in for over 400 years. And when the blood of the lamb was applied to the door, God passed over them and brought them deliverance. That next morning, Pharaoh said to Moses, "Take your people and go," and they were set free. And every year God had commanded, once a year, that they begin their new year, first month, by going back to Passover and remembering that deliverance through the shedding of the blood. It was a glorious festival. It was a wonderful time. And the city was ablaze with excitement because Passover was drawing near. But adding to the excitement this year was Jesus coming to town. And the stories had spread all around about Jesus and what he was doing. And just a few days prior to this, Jesus had accomplished a miracle that had the whole part of that country buzz with excitement, because his friend Lazarus had died. And Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days by the time Jesus arrived there. And when he got there, Jesus raised him from the dead. And that excitement began to spread. And the word about this Jesus who brought the dead back to life. They had heard about the healings of the blind and those who were deaf, but to bring someone back from the dead. And it caused a lot of excitement. And in fact, the religious Pharisees were beginning to hear about what had happened. And all these people that were hearing about the resurrection of Lazarus and were going to put faith in Christ. And now Jesus coming into the city at Passover time. The city was full of excitement, and people took their palm branches and they began to praise and shout Hosanna, because they thought this was the time of deliverance. This was the time that the king had come. And they had seen in Christ coming into the city their hope for deliverance. But the hope of deliverance that they were looking for was not the kind of deliverance that Jesus had come to bring. And John tells us in the scripture, as he records this event, and as Dreamer read it for us, all four gospels, this of entrance, Jesus' entrance into the city of Jerusalem was so significant, all four gospel writers wrote about it. But John tells us in verse 16 that at first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize the things that were written about him. And there were many in the crowd that saw the coming of the king, but they didn't really understand what or who they were seeing. They were in the presence of Jesus. They saw him riding in on the donkey, but they didn't really see him for who he was. Do you know, sometimes in our lives, friends, we can be in the presence of Jesus. He can be at work in our life. He can be at work amongst us, and we don't really see him for who he is. We can miss who he is or what he wants to do in our lives. We can miss sometimes his purpose and what he wants to do for us. This morning, for a few minutes, as we prepare to meet our Lord at his table on this Palm Sunday, Let's take a look again at seeing our King for who he is and seeing him as he's portrayed here and his entrance into the city of Jerusalem and as he's portrayed for us as we see him as we come to his table this morning in remembrance and celebration. As we look at our King this morning in this account, and as John records it for us, we will see our King. We can see him in three ways. We can see him in the deliverance first, in the deliverance that he brings. In verses 12 through 19, as John recorded the account, it said, the people took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna. That word Hosanna, as I said to the children, means save now. It was almost like a political term. It was like in England when they say, God save the king. It was a political term, and they were looking for salvation to come and deliverance. And then the deliverance that Jesus brings is that he came to set us free or deliver us from what really holds us captive. And what really holds us captive is our sin. But see, the people in Israel were looking for being set free from the despised Romans, which they hated. They hated being under Roman control and Roman domination. They looked at them as subjecting them and occupiers of their land. They hated being under subjection to them. And they were looking for the day that the Messiah would come and bring them deliverance and set them free from their Roman captors. And they would have freedom and deliverance and independence again. And that's what they were looking for. But Jesus entered the city not to bring deliverance politically or physically, but to bring deliverance spiritually. And see, they missed it because we can do the same thing, and our desires can often keep us from seeing our need. And their desire was to be set free. Their desire was to have Roman occupation taken away from them, and that Jesus was going to come in great power. He was going to somehow destroy the Romans, set up his kingdom, and they were going to be free. That was their desire. That's what they wanted. But that was not what they needed. What they really needed was the same thing we all need, and that's deliverance from the captivity of sin, right? And that was why Jesus entered that city. That was why he came. As we come to the table this morning, we see Jesus in the deliverance that he brings right here through the bread and the cup. That it reminds us that Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. To deliver you and set you free from the sin that held us captive for so long. And this is my blood shed for the transmission, for remission of your sin. To set us free from that sin that enslaved us. But sometimes, friends, we see what we want to see instead of what we need to see. And that's how it was with Israel. The crowd here saw Jesus coming. They saw him on the donkey. They lifted their palm branches. And yes, he's the king. Jesus accepted their praise. Someday he was going to come up and set his kingdom. And he will do that someday in the future. But that was not what they needed at that point. We need the deliverance. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44, as he records this account, Luke says, as Jesus was entering the city, he wept. Because he knew that they missed the significance of his coming. He knew that they were looking for political freedom and not spiritual freedom. And he said, the day will come that your enemies are going to build an embankment around you and the city is going to be destroyed because you missed and failed to recognize the meaning of the king's coming to you. They didn't see the king for who he was. The one who brings salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who comes to bring salvation and deliverance from our sin. That's what really matters. Our desires can often keep us from seeing our need, and our perspective can often keep us from seeing God's plan. Because their perspective was they wanted to be out under the occupation of Rome. Sometimes our perspective, when we're going through trials, when we're going through hardship and difficulties, our perspective is to be delivered out of that, isn't it? We want it to end. We don't want to have to go through hardship. We don't want to go through the painful experience we're in. And we say, God, end this. Deliver me from it. And sometimes his perspective, his plan is for us to learn to trust him in the midst of that. For us to see God's plan and purpose in the midst of the hardship that we're going through, right? And to realize that he is with us, he is king, he has a purpose. But our perspective can keep us from missing his plan. Notice here, his plan was seen. He demonstrated his plan very specifically in the way that he entered the city. He entered the city, how? By riding, look at verse 14, on a donkey, which had been foretold by the prophet Zechariah, which Matthew and Luke tell us that Jesus had already instructed his disciples to go into the city, and you'll find a colt that's tied there, which no one has ever ridden on before, and untie it and bring it to me. And he said, if the owner says to you, why are you doing that? Just say the king needs it, the Lord needs it, and he'll send it. And so they brought it back to Jesus, and Jesus rode on the donkey, and he entered into the city of Jerusalem that day to bring deliverance. How? On the back of a donkey. His plan was being demonstrated right before them. How was that significant? Because riding a donkey was symbolic of humility, sacrifice, and service. A conquering king, one who was coming to take king in military power, would have entered the city on a white horse. Coming in on a white horse shows that you're the conqueror. You're coming in victory. You're coming to dominate. But that's not how Jesus entered. He entered on a donkey, the beast of humility and burden. He demonstrated by his entrance God's plan before them. But their perspective kept them from seeing Jesus as he really was, because they wanted out from under the situation they were in. And when we went out from under the situation we're in sometime, as unpleasant as it is, it can keep us from seeing that God has a plan for us that is good, and he knows what he's doing. Seen in the way he entered the city, but it was also seen, his plan was seen in the time in which he entered the city. Notice what John says. The next day, the great crowd had come for the feast. The feast was Passover. It was that time that Jesus made his entrance into the city, and on particular, this day. What we call Palm Sunday, which was a Sunday for them. The Sabbath day was on Saturday, but was Sunday, the first day of the week. But significant this day, because this was been the day that the Passover lambs were chosen for sacrifice. And notice when Jesus came into the city on the donkey, and where was the first place he went? He went to the temple. And it was the day that the lambs would be chosen for sacrifice. And it was like Jesus, when he came in on that day, said, here I am. I'm the Passover lamb. Pick me. I'm the lamb for the sacrifice. I'm the one. I'm here. And he demonstrated it, the plan of God, in the way in which, and the timing in which he came to the city. We see through the bread and the cup the deliverance that God has planned for us, and that he brings his body and blood shed for us. But secondly, we see the king this morning in the invitation that he extends. In the invitation he extends in verses 20 to 22. And Luke, it's interesting that Luke is the only one who recorded this incident in all the events of Palm Sunday. As I was reading through them, I mean, John's the only one who recorded this. And John was writing to the world, to all believers, mostly to Gentiles that people would see and believe. And John said that there were some Greeks that were there among the festival who went up to worship. And they came to Philip and said, with a request, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew went and told Jesus. But the invitation that he extends was that Jesus had come to whoever who will. And he was making the point here that when Jesus came into the city to give his life, he wasn't just going to die for his own people. He wasn't just going to bring deliverance for the Jews. He was going to bring deliverance to anybody who would believe in him. And the invitation that he extends is open to all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, right, should not perish, but have everlasting life. The bread and the cup. We see him this morning in the invitation that he extends, that the bread and the cup is offered to whoever will may come. Jesus extends his banquet that we can sit down with him and at his table and have fellowship with him, whoever will, by faith. Aren't you thankful that all of us are welcome to come to him? He didn't come to a few. He didn't come just for his own. He came for anybody who is willing and wants to seek him. And all are welcome to come to his banquet. All are welcome to come to his table. And we can see the King and the invitation he extends and the bread and the cup made available to all who will. But we also see the King third in the life that he gives. In the life that he gives, verses 23 to 26, Jesus replied and said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seed. And the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, for where I am, my servant will also be, and my Father will honor the one who serves me." And the life that he gives, and that he gave, and that life comes from death. And that as he died for us, through his death, he brought us life. And Jesus came into the city that time in Jerusalem knowing that he was going to the cross. And that's why he said this, unless a kernel of wheat goes in the ground and dies, it's only going to remain a single seed. When a farmer plants that seed into the soil, from that one seed comes the potential of many others. And from the death of Christ, when he gave his life on the cross, it brought life available to all of us who believe. We see him through the bread and the cup in the life that he gives. As Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, remember me. This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin." John went on to say, recording Jesus in John chapter 6, that he said, my flesh is real food, and unless you eat of my flesh, you have no life in you. Unless you drink of my blood, you have no life in you. So life coming from death and the bread, we come in remembrance of that, reminding us of that this morning, that through his death, we have life. And service comes through sacrifice. That the bread and the cup remind us of his sacrifice and reminds us that our service to God today is by living our life each day as a living sacrifice to him. That because he died, we will live for him. Jesus said, whoever loves life will lose it. And by serving him, we follow him. In the life that he gives, we see him displayed, and we see our King this morning. Our King is here. Our King has come. He is in our midst, and he has offered himself and has spread his table before us this morning, that we may come in remembrance and in celebration of who he is. Don't be like the many in the crowd that missed the significance of that day, that because Jesus didn't live up to their expectation, because Jesus didn't bring about the kind of deliverance that they wanted, they turned against him a few days later and demanded that he be crucified, because their perspective, their desires, clouded them from seeing their true need. We see him in the deliverance he brings, the invitation he extends, and the life that he gives. And we are welcome to come to his table this morning in celebration as we begin this Holy Week journey together, going to the cross and looking forward to the empty tomb. As we prepare for communion this morning, I'd ask that you join me in a prayer of confession and consecration, and you can remain seated if you want to. If you're able to and want to kneel, that's fine. But if you just want to remain in your seat, that's okay. Let's just join and prepare ourselves to meet our Lord at this table this morning. As you are seated or kneeling in the presence of the Lord, just take this moment to prepare your heart. Ask the Lord to allow you to see Him for who He is. As Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up in His holiness in his house. But also ask the Lord to show you to see you for who you are and in need of His redemption and grace. And as Isaiah saw himself in the light of the holiness of the Lord, he said, woe is me, I need your forgiveness. So take this time to prepare your heart to meet the Lord. If there's anything that He is laying His finger on this morning that you need to confess or deal with in your relationship with Him or someone else, take this moment and ask Him to open your eyes that you may see Him this morning and His love for you. Father, we thank You for sending Jesus. We thank You that He came to bring us deliverance from what really holds us captive, and that's our sin. To set us free, to give us life, to bestow Your grace and mercy, even though we don't deserve it. And we thank You for His coming to bring us salvation, for His willingness to go all the way to the cross. And Lord, help us in those times that our desires keep us from seeing our true need, or that our perspective clouds our vision and we can't see Your plan and Your good purpose at work in and around us, because we want to be out-delivered, we want to be delivered from the unpleasant situation we're in. We don't see your plan being unfolding around us. So Lord, help us to see You at work within our life every day, and Your grace that You bestow freely. Lord, we thank You for the bread and the cup that You have provided for us in giving of Your life that we could have life. Visible reminders, Lord, of Your body broken, Your blood shed, that we could be forgiven, that we could live with You. So we thank You for the bread and we consecrate it to You. We thank You for the cup, that visible reminder of Your blood shed. And Lord, what paid the price for us, and we consecrate it to You. And as we partake this morning, Lord, may our hearts be encouraged and strengthened as we partake again by faith in celebration of Your grace and the gift of life through Your Son. And Lord, in the life that we have through You, that as You gave Your all for us, we again commit ourselves as Your disciples to live for You as living sacrifices every day, for sin is not our master. You are, and to live our life each day under Your control and under Your lordship. Lord, as we now come to Your table, we come with thanksgiving, coming to seek You and coming to receive from You today. Draw us near You in this special time through Jesus our Savior, and in His name we pray. Amen.